Stabilizing and enhancing Concordia's bluff. It's actually a half mile of shoreline. We're not the only reasons the university undertook the bluff restoration and enhancement project. Martin Luther wrote extensively on the ethical responsibility of Christians towards the natural world. He taught that people have a godly duty to preserve creation as they live out their many callings within the orders of creation through their varied vocations within the household, the government, and the church. Scripture reveals that human beings are themselves created in God's image, and therefore they have a unique responsibility as moral agents to care not only for the inanimate natural world, the biosphere with its varied biomes and ecosystems, but also for all living species that have likewise been called into existence by their Heavenly Father. Consequently, theological reasons were paramount for the Renewed by the Waters campaign's goal to stabilize and restore the bluff and build the Concordia Center for Environmental Stewardship. More than $16 million was raised through charitable donations from friends and alumni of Concordia University who support this vision and mission. Don is going to speak about the actual bluff restoration, and I'm going to talk about our LEED Platinum Center for Environmental Stewardship.
Okay, thank you. Bluff, as we have it here at that time, you can see there's quite a bit of erosion going on, and it was causing a recession of the bluff. I'll talk about. I'm just going to point out a couple of things that are kind of landmarks. This parking lot here, when you see various aerial photographs, this is old Kohlberg dormitory. This is the Peace Center, which is the actual site of the Environmental Center now. The bluffs are anywhere from about 120 to 140 foot in height at that time above the lake level. And, of course, the lake level goes up and down, so you have changes in the height of the bluff. And you can see, it's like I said earlier, there's quite a bit of wasting there. The problem, Concordia is over half a mile of shoreline, 2,720 feet. It's between, like I said earlier, 120 and 140 feet high, and all bluffs experience mass wasting, and that means they recede and are eroded, and therefore recede. Concordia was losing approximately 2 acres of its campus each decade to this process. And obviously, it was making master planning for the campus a little bit difficult for us. And so, what is bluff recession? It's a product of erosion. It's receding of the coast of the bluff, and eventually, I guess Lake Michigan will be in Madison at some time in the future. But for us, what were the problems that were associated with the recession and causes of it? Waves and currents from Lake Michigan washing away at the bluff toe. We have a storm crashes in the toe of the bluff, and it would cause it to wear away and erode there. The second major problem was our bluff angle was way too steep to be stable. It was just very steep, as you'll see. Third problem was underground water causing slumps. And the fourth problem was surface water runoff. This just kind of shows you one perspective of the mass wasting and erosion that was going on. I think that is myself right down there at the bottom, just kind of give you some perspective of the height of the bluff. It's awfully hard. Like they say, when the tornadoes go through, you can see pictures of it, but don't really know what it's really like until you actually visit. It's the same type of thing with the bluff. You can see these pictures of the bluff, and you don't really get the magnitude of it. And sorry for the some of these pictures are old from the archives, but here standing is about as close as they would allow us to get to the bluff. You couldn't see the actual foot, the toe of the bluff. It's hidden. That shows you how steep it actually was. And, of course, it was so dangerous that we tried to keep the students off of it. Okay. This shows you the type of thing after a storm, what you would expect to see down at the foot of the bluff. This is the result of wave and currents acting at the toe. Other problem was that the bluff was very steep, between 30 and 38 degrees. It was pretty much throughout the entire half-mile length of the bluff on our property. Actually, it was called the Concordia Palisades by the environmental geologists at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And they would invite people from the DNR, our Department of Natural Resources, and other Great Lakes DNRs to come see the Concordia Palisades and see how bad it can get. And so, and you just kind of give you another perspective of the angle that we have is almost 1-to-1. You know, that would be 45. We were at 38. We were trying to get to a lot less than 2.1, 2-to-1, or less than 22 degrees. And when you look at a bluff, you have to look at things, geologists and those who look at it, look at safety factors, and the safety factor is the forces resisting shear forces, the shear, divided by the forces promoting shear. And you have if you have a safety factor of less than 1, you have a very unstable slope. You have a safety factor greater than 1.2, you have a stable slope. And here are some of the different parameters that are used to compute the safety factor. This was a picture taken in 1977, and just shows the Concordia bluff line at that time, and you can see that this was when it was owned by the Sisters of Notre Dame. We bought their campus. It was either us or a prison, so Mequon went with us and decided that we were probably slightly better resource for the community. But anyway, I'm going to show you a profile taken from right here at 1210 on this of our bluff. And this is 1210, and this gives you a profile of it. And this was done by Edel and Mickelson from UW-Madison. And they computed that it had a safety factor of 0.67. So it was highly unstable. And I'll show you, a photo from that portion of the bluff that represents that 0.67. This was just that little bit right at the top, and go down that way. Neighbors were trying to work on get some of their bluff stabilized to the south of us. In addition to the problems of waves at the toe and then the slope, you also have problems with slumping. Concordia had 17 springs that emptied on the bluff face. And all of these had to be addressed. The problems associated with this had to be addressed. And so that was another one of the things that we do. And that's also one of the main causes of slumping of the actual bluff. And this shows you, this is a manifestation of the slump down on the beach. You see the clay and everything that is being washed out to sea or lake. And you can see that trees are very good to help on ground water flow, but they can't do the whole thing by themselves. And you see, they're kind of, well, I think a couple of weeks later, those two trees were on the beach. Another problem there was, as you saw in the aerial photographs, was a lack of the vegetation. And of course, if you lack vegetation, you're going to have problems with surface water flow, and obviously erosion associated with that. And this just shows you some of the damage caused by the surface water runoff. And in 1998, I gave a presentation to the Board of Regents, and I concluded it with this slide. I had to get it out of the archives, and I just kind of threw it on them, and I said we needed to do something about this example. This is not the example we want of Christian stewardship to represent Concordia University. And apparently they bought the argument because they went ahead and started the project. And so what were our goals? Obviously, goal was number one, to stabilize the bluff. If we didn't stabilize the bluff, we couldn't do anything, like I said, with the master plan. The second goal was to make it accessible and usable by the Concordia community and also the public. And we had a third goal, to provide environmental educational opportunities for Concordia and other students. So what were some of the solutions that we thought would be needed to do this? Is obviously put up a revetment to prevent waves from washing away the bottom of the bluff. And then we needed to reduce the steepness of the bluff. And then we also had to do something to prevent underground water from causing slumps, and then also to drain that water to wetlands. And then also we needed to do quite a bit of ground cover planting. And we had three possible scenarios that we were submitting to the Board of Regents the 2000 decade. And you see the three scenarios. And this one was we figured out how long we'd been there on campus and how many acres we had lost. And we figured we wanted them back. Okay? And then this is just the way, just existing coastline. And this was about half between the two. And so 8 acres, 4 acres, no access out into the lake. The DNR said that we couldn't do anything out in the lake. That was their land. It was now their land, even though we'd been paying taxes on it and everything. It was their land. So this was the final plan that was approved by the DNR and the Corps of Engineers. And there's a computer simulation of it. And this was... when we finally got started on this a couple years later, we had to buy some more land from the Sisters of Notre Dame as a staging area and so on. But you can see the parking lot, and you can see some of the initial work that was done. I was surprised because it went kind of top down on this and how they approached it. And here's another campus. And here you can see we also have, this is the main campus, as you can see right here. There's the half mile of shoreline. This is a 40-acre plot up there. And that open, bare area there, that was our staging area. That was 40 acres that we bought from the Sisters of Notre Dame for probably the same price as what we paid for the original 160 acres from them. They knew we needed it. As you can see, we had to move to reduce the slope of the bluff. We had to remove 430,000 cubic yards of material, quite a bit. And it was all transferred to the fill site of 40 acres, which was raised about 40 feet and made level. Now they have playing fields there and also a parking lot. And this is just another perspective. And like I say, this shows the Peace Center. This is the northern aspect of the restoration project, and it shows where this CCES is. Just another thing we hear, we made a breakwater. This is supposed to be the coastal wetlands, and we put 138 6 to 10 ton boulders out there to provide protection for that. And then this is the next summer. You see that it's progressed. And you see the revetment has taken shape and so on. And we have a beach that's actually being made in that second one for the students to use. Also the launch boats. UW-Madison comes down and does studies on it. And here's the wetlands and the start of the amphitheater and the stairwells going down to the lake. And then this is the, essentially the final product. And I showed you the Coburg, the old Coburg. This is a new Coburg. It's probably got one of the beautifulest views of any dorm in the country when you look out over the lake. And one of the things that they did. Now I'm just going to go real quickly over like the four things they, four things that we had to work on. One of them was we did some modeling of the bluff at Queens College in Kingston, Ontario, and they made a scale here of our proposed bluff, and then they tested it against 50, 100, and 500-year storms and decided that maximum wave action would be something like 8.5 feet. And so, okay, now what did I do?
You have to move the little finger over.
Did you use the right arrow?
And this is revetment design, and this was 11 feet. And you see right at the foot that we, didn't take much of the slope off, but then that keeps going like this as you move out. And this just shows you that over 70,000 tons of rock were used to construct this 11-foot high revetment as a path for walking. And then this one kind of shows you that we had to stabilize the slope. And this is about halfway up the 220 steps, each stair about 8 inches tall. And you can see that still it's a pretty good climb to go up and down it. And this is another perspective. We had over a half mile switchbacks in the project to make it accessible to all. So that was, that's what we did to the slope. We also, protected the toe. And then what we also did is we had to take care of the subterranean water. And we made over a mile of drainage ditches and trenches to capture that subterranean water and funnel it down to a perched wetlands. And that also filters the water before it goes back into Lake Michigan. And also the fourth thing we needed to do was actually plant the area, and we had over 1 million square feet that we planted with a native vegetarian to do that, accomplish that. And my personal biggest disappointment was the coastal wetlands. The lake levels have gone down. The wetlands were decided, were based on the fact that, okay, we'll do it for the normal average water level. And we haven't been there. We've been 3 or 4 feet below that. And so, therefore, our coastal wetlands aren't wetlands. So, anyway, here is the final product. And this is the award Concordia won, or the engineers won, by the American Society for Civil Engineers. We were one of the 5 finalists. We lost out to a little bridge in China. So we have finished, with the project, what we've talked about so far, we've stabilized the bluff and made it accessible to the Concordia and public community.
Yes, so once that was stabilized, we could begin to think about building a center, which we call the Concordia Center for Environmental Stewardship, where we could provide educational opportunities. So now I'm going to talk about that as the second part of the Renewed by the Waters campaign. And here's a photo, a front view of the Environmental Stewardship Center. And here is a side view of the same center. It's the second higher education building in Wisconsin and the third nature center in the state of Wisconsin to receive the LEED Platinum certification. We're very proud of that. The physical facility was constructed using more than 100 different elements of green design and earth-friendly functionality. Waste management diverted 87% of all waste from landfills. The segregated waste was placed in dumpsters by category. It was monitored by WasteCap to make sure that we were indeed doing what we said we were doing. The ground floor windows have green screens. When I took these photographs, the green plantings were just starting out. hopefully with time, it's planned they will grow. These are exterior, but the green screens help seal the shade and reduce energy cost. The windows are all thermally sealed, argon-filled dual-pane windows. The great thing about the green screens is during the summer month of these east-facing and south-facing windows, you have the plants growing, and then they die back during the Wisconsin winters for a maximum solar gain, when we need the maximum solar gain. So the building is also itself oriented on the bluff in order to maximize natural daylight throughout all of the public places, the research area, the classrooms. This is an upstairs classroom, and it's very light and very airy. It's become a very popular meeting place on campus. The views are spectacular. If you look out these windows, you're looking down the coastline. If you look out these windows, you're looking directly over the bluff into Lake Michigan. So many, here's the downstairs laboratory. You can see the same arrangement of windows. Many features contribute to the center's energy efficiency. A real-time interactive display greets you when you first come in. You can see energy usage. You can see energy generation. So it's kind of a really neat thing to educate the public and attract their attention. A heat recapture system in line with the exhaust system saves approximately 15% of energy cost. An installation of over 230-watt photovoltaic panels on the roof of the nearby Coburg Residence Dormitory that Don was speaking about provides almost a quarter of the building's energy. The geothermal HVAC system uses water, and that's accessed by more than three dozen different 300-foot vertical deep wells. It includes more than 6 miles of piping for heat exchange. The Earth's year-round temperature is 55 degrees Fahrenheit at this depth here, so air used in the HVAC system is either preheated or pre-cooled with a minimal additional amount of energy required for air conditioning in the summer or for heating in the winter. Precision climate control in the building's various rooms is achieved with 16 different heat pumps. Overall, the center's HVAC system saves the university an estimated 50 to 75% in energy cost as compared to standard HVAC systems. This is the entrance interior. If you would come in these doors, you would be entering it, and then around the corner here is where you would see those energy displays, and there's information along the wall here. This is the center's reception desk, and then the stairs to upstairs, just so you can kind of get oriented. We use two different types of lighting throughout the center, LED lights and then the T8 high fluorescent, high energy fluorescents. LED lights use one-tenth the energy of a standard incandescent bulb. High efficient fluorescents use one-third to one-half the energy of regular lights. All lights in the center are controlled by motion sensors. And they also have what we call light sensors that monitor the amount of natural light coming in. So it kind of gives you an awareness, oh, maybe I don't need the overheads on right now where there's enough natural light. So besides the motion sensors, there's the incoming natural ambient incoming light sensors. Of course, all appliances are ENERGY STAR rated appliances. Construction of the CCS incorporated many sustainable practices. For example, Forest Stewardship Council certified wood was used extensively throughout the building. FSC wood is harvested from environmentally sustained managed forest. A small residence hall, the Peace Center that Don was talking about, formerly occupied this site. Reuse of Peace Center materials was emphasized and documented throughout the construction of the CCES. Striking example of wood recycled from the Peace Center is this carved bathymetric map that you can see of the Great Lakes. And here's a close-up. We absolutely adore this. It's beautiful. It's all made from recycled Peace Center wood. The wall behind the map was built from roof trusses that were also reclaimed from the Peace Center, and overall 87% of the Peace Center material was reclaimed during construction and demolition. The concrete and brick of the Peace Center are now underlay the CCS foundation. I see we're getting short. We have stained concrete for the flooring because it requires minimum maintenance and can be cleaned only with water. This is actually a dark blue a stripe that goes through that emphasizes our connection to water. This happened, the zodiac happened to just be in there the day that I was taking the pictures. I'll just go through this. Wheat board, which is made from reclaimed wheat and stalks, is used. This is the top of the desk. Paper stone is a lot of the horizontal surfaces in the center. It's even the lab surfaces. It's strong enough to withstand acid and very hard. Local limestone was used, quarried in Sussex, Wisconsin. A recycled fiber carpet square. This is our CCS director's office. We have two solar hot water heaters on the roof. And we use the water-efficient plumbing fixtures. The two solar waters maintain 135 degree Fahrenheit minimum temperature. And then we have a small conventional gas water heater that supplements during periods of high demand or in the evening. We use all Green Guard furniture. This is one of the research labs. I'll just flip through the pictures. My husband didn't leave me a lot of time. This is an outdoor terrace for when school groups come. We have two different freshwater aquaria for displaying Lake Michigan fish. Here are views from the balcony. We have a number of educational displays. This is the exhibit hall. It's become a very popular place for faculty meetings or other things. We display a lot of scripture verses throughout, which is one of the things I really liked in your Wheaton building. You can't read it too well, but that's from one of the Psalms. So come for a tour. This bicycle happens to be made out of bamboo. And here's one of the outdoor benches. Okay, sorry, ran a little bit over.